Hello, and welcome back to Badass Bitches Tarot for the week of January 20th through January 26th. I'm your host, Cardzi B. As many of you may already know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in New York City. I began learning tarot when I was just a weird metaphysical 11-year-old and turned that hobby into a tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot. So this month has been a little crazy. I don't know if you guys are already feeling that, but we moved through a powerful new moon eclipse on January 5th and are about to experience a super blood wolf moon tonight. This is a badass moon, you guys. So super blood moons happen during a total lunar eclipse when the earth is kind of between the sun and the moon and blocking the sun's light from falling directly on the moon. However, this little bit of light that manages to pass through kind of makes the moon look red as opposed to the bright white yellowish tone that we're used to. So that's why it's a blood moon. It's called a super blood wolf moon because it's a super blood moon in the middle of the winter. This eclipse, super blood wolf moon, starts tonight at 11:41 Eastern Standard Time and it lasts about an hour. So it's definitely worth going outside to take a look at if you get a chance. This eclipse is the last one we're going to see until 2021. So in a lot of ways, that's going to feel like a big relief. It is the last in a series dating all the way back to an eclipse that occurred in May of 2017. So this is really allowing us to fully release any debris from that time period into now. So if there was anything that maybe even if you had worked through it, but you were still kind of clinging a bit to something, still carrying some negativity, some resentment, some hurt, this eclipse is really going to allow you to release that with kind of somewhat of a clean slate. It's also in Leo, which is a great time to really step into our power and move forward much clearer and stronger. So as you guys might remember, January's cards of the month are the Magician, aka the Lady Gaga card, the card that represents putting energy out into the world and changing the way that other people see things. And the Magician also is kind of actualized potential, like really, really making ideas, seedlings that you had come to birth. We have 2 weeks left, so let's Gaga style put out to the world some of the things we've been working on. And January's other card is Six of Cups. This is known as the nostalgia card. Six of Cups often represents a reconnection with someone or something that reminds you of a happy time from your past. I had a really fantastic New Year's in Toronto with all of my besties, and I got to spend some time with my parents this month, so lots of good Six of Cups vibes for me. To hear more in-depth info about the cards for January and the entire 2019 year overview, you can go back to episode 24 of this podcast. Now for the cards of the week. Eight of Pentacles. Okay, I love this card. And this is going to feel good, probably following the upheaval that some of you may have experienced preceding the eclipse this past week. So in the OG Smith Rider-Waite deck, this is this mofo sitting on a bench, etching out the star, which is the pentacle symbol on a coin. And he has seven of his finished coins on display, and he's kind of proud of them. They're up there in the background. He's really concentrating and appears to be genuinely enjoying the process as he perfects his work. Eights are ruled by the Strength card in the Major Arcana, and they represent internal strength and harmony. The Eight of Pentacles is definitely related to the King of Pentacles in my belief, because they both make success look easy because they truly love what they're doing and they're fulfilled by it. In the Badass Bitches Tarot deck, Eight of Pentacles is Carrie Ellen Phillips, founder of global PR agency BCPM, sustainability champion, and one badass bitch. Carrie Ellen has built a successful global empire doing what she loves, and she's one of those people that's just incredibly inspiring due to her accomplishments, yet because she is in such a state of flow constantly, she makes it look easy and elevates the energy of a room the moment she steps through the door. So I've been getting some feedback from listeners that overall the fave episodes are the monthly overviews. People message me with tons of questions that they're not necessarily related to our interactive coming out of the spiritual closet segment, and I answer them one-on-one via message or email through the site. So I've been playing around with adding one segment a month that is an Ask Cardzi B episode centered around me answering your questions on the podcast. So let me know what you think of this. I pulled five questions this week from a whole bunch that I got on social media through my website and that I get asked at events when I read. Question number one. Aaron from Toronto wrote, "Your name is hilarious. How did you come up with it? And do you think Cardi B will be mad when she finds out?" Thank you. Well, I used to read tarot for all my besties, and they jokingly call me Miss Cleo, but that was clearly already taken. So my ex-wife and dear friend, who is an incredible writer and one funny mofo, came up with Cardzi B. The B is for Bex, and it just stuck. Ironically, three of my best friend's names start with A, C, and D, so there's a whole street gang of Cardsies A through D, who love to do impressions of me, but if I'm unavailable, I do not vouch for the accuracy of A, C, and D's readings. In terms of if I think Cardi B would be mad about this, she's pretty feisty, but also she seems to have a great sense of humor. She's a Libra, so honestly, this one could go either way. Personally, I adore her and made her Knight of Wands, i.e. the super charismatic Fire Knight ruled by Jupiter, in the Badass Bitches tarot deck, so hopefully she'd be down with it. Question number two. Emily from Brooklyn asked, you talk a lot about Saturn returns and how this was such a traumatic period for you and also for many of your guests. I'm scared. How do I find when mine was or will be? Okay, Emily, you need to get your natal chart, so you'll need your exact location and time of birth. You can get your chart for free on cafeastrology.com. There's a lot of sites, but I really like Cafe Astrology. I'll list that in the notes to this podcast. Once you get your chart, look at which sign Saturn was in when you were born. Mine was in Scorpio, for example. As Sarah from the 8th house mentioned on last week's podcast, how long Saturn stays in a sign depends upon how many times it retrogrades, so it can vary. Saturn takes approximately 28 to 29 years to come full cycle, and therefore it spends an average of 2 to 2.5 years in a sign. In my case, it was just fucking lollygagging its way through Scorpio from October of 2012 to September of 2015, at which point it decided to go into my sun sign Sagittarius from September of 2015 all the way to December of 2017. So basically for me, it felt like I was having this shit kicked out of me by the universe for 5 years, or what I often refer to as American Horror Story, Saturn. The thing is, it all depends where your Saturn is. Mine is in Scorpio, which isn't a huge fan of Saturn. Then Saturn moved its slow ass from Scorpio to Sagittarius, my sun sign, which basically hates Saturn. It's like, to Sagittarius, Saturn is that annoying, rigid authority figure that gives Sagittarius the rage. But some planets love Saturn. Capricorn is ruled by Saturn and actually does really well when it's in Saturn's company. So it depends where your Saturn is. Overall, Saturn return is a wake-up call, and this is why it can be traumatic. Saturn comes in and asks, hey, is this the life you really want? And especially if the foundation is shaky, it will really freaking huff and puff and blow your life down while asking, hey, are you sure you want this career, this relationship, this path? It's kind of like the Tower card, but like I always advise with the Tower, knowing it's coming is half the battle. The other half is assessing how strong your foundation is. Also, don't freak out too much. Not everyone's Saturn return results in divorce, death of two friends, bankruptcy, carbon monoxide poisoning, and suicidal depression. Mine was an extreme, extreme case. But hey, don't cry for me, Argentina. I have Jupiter in Sag now, which is basically like dating Santa Claus after escaping an abusive relationship with Osama bin Laden. Also, I truly believe it really put me exactly where I'm supposed to be. It made me so much stronger as I crawled my way out of Saturn's wake, reminiscent of Lady Gaga's Marry the Night video. This leads me to my next question from Leslie in Denmark. Question three. Why do you hate the devil so much? You mention it every episode. I experienced the devil card as my card this year as well, and it wasn't all that bad. Well, good for you, Leslie. No, I'm just kidding. Seriously, I'm happy to hear that. And overall, my devil year was far less traumatic than my death or temperance years, to be honest. Tarot and astrology are a lot alike in that there are many factors at play, and each card affects everyone differently. The devil is about vices, addictions, and self-sabotaging behaviors, and more importantly, how we bond ourselves to those things. The devil isn't terrible if, number one, you're pretty disciplined by nature and don't struggle with vices or self-sabotage, i.e. not me, and or, number two, you're in a place that you have awareness around what these patterns are, and you're like, hey, I see you, devil. I'm going to breathe into this experience and choose not to be tied to you. The thing about the devil is once you no longer give it power, you're free. In terms of doing embodiment work with the devil card, it's good to work with whatever deck resonates strongly with you. In Badass Bitches Tarot, the devil is Whitney Houston. She was beyond talented and beautiful, but literally drowned in her own demons. I find this card is the epitome of the devil for me. I've struggled with addiction in my past, and I also had a very tumultuous relationship with a closeted, air quotes here, straight woman. Sidebar, for those of you who didn't know this about Whitney, she had a secret affair with her best girlfriend Robin and never told anyone. This card is beyond triggering for me. But triggering is good, because it makes you look at what you want to free yourself from. 2018 was my year of the devil, and the year I decided to free myself from these bonds and see that I actually had control all along, and therefore could walk away at any point from things that could be alluring and intoxicating, but ultimately not in my highest interest. But back to the question, if the devil card isn't bad for you, that's awesome. You may be someone that struggles with the emperor's rules or the empress's message of mothering and receiving. The awesome thing about tarot is there are no absolutes or universal rules or applications to everyone. All right, so next question. 4. If reading tarot is a gift, why do you and other tarot readers charge so much? All right, this is one that mofos just ask readers and healers in general, so I decided to address it here. My friend and incredibly talented psychic medium, Thomas John from the Lifetime show Seatbelt Psychic, has a great answer to this. He says, "What do you do for a living? I'm sure you have some sort of gifts and talents that create work for you. Do you charge?" I would say Michael Jordan was born with some pretty fucking incredible gifts. Does he charge? Which is hilariously accurate. My stance on this also goes back to a shaman I worked with in Costa Rica. I believe when clients are offering up something in return, they're more committed to their own healing. Though this work is healing for clients, and that alone brings joy and healing to me, it is also an exertion of energy. And when some form of exchange for that energy is offered, it's more fulfilling for both parties, both the client and the reader. Also, from a client standpoint, when you're seeking healing, whether that's psychotherapy, tarot, or plant medicine, you're far more likely to commit and take it seriously, and therefore be able to fully receive it if you offer something up on your end. That's just how the universe works. That being said, if you can't pay my standard rates and feel you really need a reading, reach out to me. I'm always willing to work something out, whether that's a payment plan, an exchange of services like Reiki or energy work, or even cool workouts like Soul Cycle classes. So hit me up and I would love to work something out for you. Okay, 5, do you consider yourself to be psychic, from Terry in Los Angeles? Okay, this is such an interesting question, and in the past I would have been like, no, highly intuitive and empathic, yes, psychic, no. Especially being friends with really gifted psychics and mediums who literally speak to people who've crossed over by receiving crystal clear messages. But over the past few years, hello Saturn return and plant medicine, I've done a lot of healing work on myself, which led me to kind of an unplanned tuning into my own intuition. So here are my personal beliefs. I believe everyone has the ability to tap into this. Some people are born with stronger connection to their ability than others. Just like Tiger Woods was golfing before he hit puberty, some psychics and mediums experience this ability from as far back as they can remember. But like athletic excellence, intuition also works like a muscle. The more you utilize it, the stronger it gets. The more you meditate, listen to those little signs from the universe, pay attention to messages in your dreams, the stronger your intuitive abilities become. On a physical level, if you've never worked out, and anytime you've been presented with the opportunity, you've shut it down and chose a non-physically challenging activity instead, you're likely to see a celebrity with a six-pack on a magazine cover and tell yourself, that could never be you. And if you couldn't do it, then you probably extend the belief that most people could never do it. Psychic intuition is similar. When I was younger, I was a very sensitive kid, sensitive to energy, other people's geographic energy, and this ended up manifesting as anxiety. So the older I got, the more I tried to shut it down, with alcohol, the distraction of toxic relationships, workaholism, anything not to feel those icky, anxious feelings. Despite my attempts to avoid feeling and connecting to this, i.e. not going to the metaphysical gym, I would have occasional undeniable moments of connection. In 2001, I had a horrible dream that something really bad happened to my high school friend who was in Tokyo at the time, and I woke up to an email that she had been assaulted the previous night. In 2012, I had a dream of one of my best friends bringing me white roses, telling me he needed to tell me how much he loved me, only to find out the next morning he had passed away that night. Over the past couple years, post-American Horror Story Saturn edition, when I started to remove the distractions and coping mechanisms I had utilized through much of my adult life, I started to realize that for me, what I experienced as anxiety was actually my connection to my intuition a lot of the time. If this is something you're working through yourself, there are a few things I recommend. 1, meditation. Yes, I know it's hard. I still struggle. And there are some great guided meditation apps that will kind of help you out with this from an intro standpoint. I personally love 10% Happier, and I fall asleep to Louise Hay's Nighttime Meditations. I will link both of those in the podcast notes as well. The second thing, listen to the universe. This can be anything from seeing a physical sign, hearing a song, or witnessing something in a dream that is emotionally charged for you. Even if you can't quite piece it together, write it down, acknowledge it. Don't just dismiss it. I think one of my spirit guides is a fab gay DJ because mine often come to me in the form of messages through pop songs. So you never know how you're going to get them, but pay attention. Number three, play guessing games with yourself. This one is from John Holland, a world-renowned psychic. He's written a lot of books, and he's amazing. He recommends little things, like guessing how many seconds until the light's going to turn green, guessing which elevator door is going to open first, which unexpected friend you're going to hear from this week. The more you tune into this, like lifting weights at the gym, the stronger you become. Okay, I have a long list of questions, but I'm going to close with a lighter question. Stephanie in NYC, if you are the King of Wands, who is your ideal partner card? Would this be the Queen of Wands? Oh my God, that's an excellent question. And I haven't really thought about this, to be honest, because there are so many cards I love. I mean, those of you who know me, you know I love Madonna, also known as Wheel of Fortune. I adore Nine of Cups, my mom, who is the wish card, and that's just like such a generous and like happy card. Love, love, love King of Pentacles, who is the fab bling bling energy and still like kind of earth grounding and chill. This is hard, but you know what? Yeah, I'm going to go with your OG guess, Queen of Wands, and here's why. So that card, Queen of Wands, has the high energy, charismatic charm of the Wands fire suit, which I love because Sag, Aries rising. But she's also like, she's really fun and playful, but she's also really nurturing. In the OG Smith Rider Waite deck, Queen of Wands is petting a black cat. And she's, you know, the caretaker for that, which comes the nurturing side. But it's also said that this shows that she is representing that she's comfortable in touching her shadow self, right? That she can deal with her shadow, look at it and embrace it. And that is something I think is so important. And I really do look for that. So yes, you were correct, Steph. You might be a little bit psychic yourself. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for all the questions. And let me know what you guys think of this new format as possibly adding an Ask Cardsy B segment each month. So before we head out, let me give you the month's recap. This month, we have Magician, who brings exciting new things to fruition that have been in the works. The Six of Cups, bringing in love and connection, reminiscent of a happy time in our past. And this week is bringing us Eight of Pentacles, making it an awesome week to be in the flow and efficiently just get shit done while you're enjoying the process. Don't forget to check out my Instagram Live, Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tune in for an overview of the upcoming week and a chance to ask your own questions. So I do a lot of little mini live readings. So you can also message in advance. You can send your questions through badasswitchestarot.com or Instagram message, and that will ensure that I get to your reading. Otherwise, tune in live and I read as many as I can in the half hour. Also, I have some great events still coming up. In February, I'll be back at the Open Center Friday, February 8th from 4 to 8 and doing a very special Badass Bitches Tarot kickoff event at Om Shanti Saturday, February 9th from 1 to 3. And and if you're looking for an incredible spring retreat, I know this is a ways out, but just, you know, good to plan. I'm a featured reader at Rise Gathering May 31st to June 2nd. And you can get $100 off the weekend with code CARDSY2019 at Rise Gathering. Also, follow Cardsy B on Instagram and badassbitchestarot.com. I'm always adding more events. If you get a sec, please rate and review this podcast so more people can view it, and let me know what you think of this new segment, the Ask Cardsy B, for a new episode. Thank you so much for listening, and as always, stay magical AF.